incredible time of worship this morning. It is the Christmas season, isn't it? Can you feel it? Woo, it's busy. I was at Penn Square Mall yesterday. I was feeling it. Yeah, trying to find a parking place. It's full throttle. As a matter of fact, we're to the point in my own household where I just have to ask Jennifer every day, now what are we doing tonight? Because I've lost track. I just have to hear each time it's this banquet or this kid's activity, this staff party. It's a harried time. It's a stressful time. Even when we think of this issue of giving gifts to one another, does anybody feel the pressure with that? That's a whole new a burden to bear. It seems like it's growing into something that we didn't intend. It's estimated with an online search that last year the average gift given to children was $330. So whatever the gift was, I'm telling you, you're looking at a kid of the 70s and 80s. I was happy with one of those Wonder Wheels, you know, that went back and forth, or Rubik's Cube. Now look, I'm the baby of the family and I'm spoiled. I got all kinds of stuff, bikes and trains and that kind of thing. But it does seem like there's this expansion, this swelling, and even this pressure in the gift giving. Here's what I want us to do this morning. In the midst of the bustle of this season, I'm not going to give you a primer on what kind of gifts to get or boundaries in relationship to that. But what I want us to do this morning is to look at a framework, a biblical perspective today of the gifts. What can you find this morning that I believe is going to bring you peace during this season, so that when you see the exchange of gifts this year, here's what I would love to have happen is for you and for me that we're mindful of these things. What would the first thing be? Here's the first thing. As we exchange gifts, I want us to be mindful that God gives us everything that we need for this life every day. When you receive a gift this year, you open that package, or when you see someone else doing that, would you take just a moment to remember that every day, large and small, God takes care of every need that we have. Here's how the Bible expresses it in James 1:17. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every gift comes from God. He knows you. He knows what you need. He's providing for you. So when you see that exchange of gifts, just be mindful that God is taking care of you every day. Jeff DiGiacomo preached a couple of weeks ago. He does such a great job, and he reminded us to not be anxious in this life. Matthew 6 says it this way, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" And Jesus goes on to describe, look, the flowers of the field, the grass, the birds of the air, they're all taken care of by God. He goes on to say this in verse 33 in this very familiar passage of Matthew 6. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When you see the exchange of gifts this year, remember that God gives us everything that we need every day. Here's the second thing that I would want you to think of with the exchange of gifts this year, is that God gives us His presence through the power of His Spirit. He's gifted us Himself every day in our lives. As Jesus was preparing to depart, He was about to ascend into heaven. He was encouraging His disciples with lessons and through prayer. And here's what He told them in John 16 about the Spirit's presence that would be coming. He said this, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. I'll give you the gift of the Spirit. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not seek on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He'll disclose to you what is to come. He'll glorify Me, for He'll take of Mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has that are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you." Jesus was encouraging the disciples that, look, I'm going to be out of your presence physically, but I'm sending the presence of my Spirit to be with you and to be in you and to guide you. When you see those gifts this year, remember that as we follow Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, that He's given us His Spirit in our hearts and lives. What a gift. Now, like many parents with older teens, and you've probably experienced as well as you've had kids grow up and launch, we'll be at gatherings and we'll be asked the question, Jennifer and I, so your kids are seniors, so almost 18 and 15, Emily's driving now, so what are your kids thinking about doing? Where are they thinking about going? What are they thinking about studying or doing with their life? And listen, that's a lot to consider, right? There's a lot to think about that could happen in their lives. But here's what I know. It's because of the gifts of the Lord, He's going to take care of them every day. Because they've trusted Him with their life, He lives within their life. He's going to guide them in every way in their life. But thirdly, I also know this, that not only has He gifted them with His own presence in their life, He's going to gift them with the skills and the ability to do whatever it is that He wants them to do with their life. What a gift. And God's blessed you and me in the same way, that He's given us gifts of His Spirit to be able to operate in the ways that He's called us to. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. God's going to be at work in and through my own kids and yours and in your own life. And mine. Romans 12:6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If in service and in serving. In teaching and his teaching. He who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who sows with mercy, with cheerfulness. God gives us every provision that we need every day. He gives us the presence of His Spirit in our life, and He gives us the exact gifting and skill set that we need to be able to do exactly what He's called us to do in this life. As you would imagine, in church life, I find myself often at the hospital bedside or on a phone call before a procedure or surgery, where I have the opportunity to be able to comfort, to be able to pray for peace, for strength, for healing for someone before they go into a procedure. But also I take time when I pray with someone before an event like that, that I'm able to pray with the team that are about to assemble around them, the physicians, the nurses, the attendants. Because here's what I know too, is that even if someone doesn't acknowledge that the Lord is at work in their life, here's what I know. God created us, created my hands and my mind, my heart and compassion. And so I know that I can pray to Him and ask Him to bless that team that have been skilled by Him to do that work. God has gifted us everything that we need every day. We're grateful. He's gifted us with His presence. He's gifted us with the spiritual giftedness and the skill to do what He's called each of us to do in this life. But to not miss what's right in front of our faces, especially in the Christmas season, He has given us the ultimate gift. Eternal life in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sin. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's almost so familiar that it's lost, it's missed. We don't want to miss the grandeur of this, at this season in particular, that Jesus Christ has come to set us free from death and sin. And its penalty. We've been set free in Him. It's almost like a few years ago, we're at the Grand Canyon. We're standing at this wonderful masterpiece of God's creation, and here are people on their phones. And I'm thinking, you're kind of missing what's right in front of you. I know they're trying to capture it, but still, put down the screen. Look at what's right in front of you in the same way during this season. As we think about the gifts that the Lord is giving to us, may we not miss the biggest gift of all. And that salvation in Jesus Christ from our despair. Romans 6:23 says it so clearly, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. What a gift. Paul says it this way. It's such an incredible gift that in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says, it's indescribable. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Lord is taking care of us. When you exchange those gifts this year, don't forget that God is taking care of you in every way, every day. Don't forget that God, when you trust him as Savior, that he's with you in his Spirit, by his Spirit, to guide you. Don't forget that he's gifted you with skills, his spiritual gifts to be able to do life as he's called you to do it. But don't miss this. The greatest gift of all is not about this temporal life, but is about eternity, that we're destined to be with him in Christ Jesus with no penalty. What an indescribable gift. The word gift here in 2 Corinthians 9:15 is doreia, a gift freely, without cost, without charge, without paying. Other translations of Scripture, this passage say, inexpressible gift, unspeakable gift, a gift too wonderful for words. Listen, when I think about this gift that I've been given from the Lord, set free from any penalty, any judgment, any sins that I've committed in the past or in the future, my mind goes back to that 80s chorus, he paid a debt. Listen to these words. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. My debt he paid upon the cross. He cleansed my soul from all its dross. I thought that no one could all my sins erase, but now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Oh, such great pain my Lord endured when he my sinful soul secured. I should have died there, but Jesus took my place, so now I sing a brand new song. He didn't give to me alone. He gave himself, now he's my own. He's gone to heaven to make for me a place, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. What an indescribable gift the Lord clearly gives to us. Our daily provision, his Spirit, the giftedness by the Spirit, this ultimate gift. What do we see about those that give back to the Lord? There's an exchange of gifts at Christmas. The Lord has given to us in many ways. What do we see in Scripture of those who give back to him? Just a few weeks ago, I went to a musical downtown. And it was just a small cast. As a matter of fact, there was a stage band and then four who were in the cast. And it was about Mary and Joseph's precarious situation. In those early days as they were walking through that relationship together and trying to sort things out. And with this small cast, Mary and Joseph were the same each time, but the other two would rotate as different characters in those scenes. In one of the scenes, one was a shepherd. In another scene, one displayed the work of the Magi as they sought out Jesus. Listen, I can read words on a page, but it was so refreshing for me to see the action of that person coming before King Jesus and bowing before him and worshiping him and giving him their gifts in holiness. Here's what it says in Matthew 2, verse 9. They went their way and saw the star which they had seen in the east. It went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you hear those words? They rejoiced exceedingly. They fell to the ground. They worshipped him. Listen, we've received great gifts from the Lord. What are your gifts back to him? Are they like the Magi? Or maybe like the woman forgiven of sin in Luke 7? It says this, there was a woman in that city who was a sinner. And when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table at Simon the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, very expensive, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Jesus goes on to share a very brief parable about debts owed and debts paid, gifts given. And Jesus says this to Simon. He turned toward the woman and said to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to the woman, "Your sins have been forgiven." Listen, God has given us much. The Magi worshipped him as the king. This woman who had been forgiven as much worshipped him in many ways, pouring out ointment on him. Also with Paul, we see that Paul worshiped the Lord and gave his life as well. In Philippians 2:17, it says, Paul says, "Even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all." You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Paul gave his life as a gift to the Lord. It culminates in Romans 12:1. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." The Magi worshiped him. They gave gifts to him. The woman found in sin gave her gifts to Jesus. Paul gave the gift of his life to the Lord. And as Paul encouraged the early church, the fledgling church that he ministered to, the church at Corinth, he encouraged them to give to the Lord, to give to other churches. He talked about financial giving, support through prayer, support in many other ways, but to pour out their own lives just as he did. It says this again in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. "I want you to give in this way because thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He's encouraging them, you've received so much. In the same way that God has given you this indescribable gift, you too should give. One commentary says it this way, "The primary gift of God, which has established the whole framework of Christian life and fellowship within which Paul's preaching collection alike stand." Everything that Paul was about because of God's indescribable gift. Here's how it reads in 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 9. "But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in the love we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Paul is saying this is the indescribable gift that Jesus, who left glory, left the riches of his kingdom, become poor on our behalf and even die on the cross for you and for me, so that we might enter glory. In the end, God is the one who gives us everything. Every provision for every day of our life, God gives us. He gives our skill and ability to do what we do in this life that he's called us to. And he gives us himself, his presence, and eternal life. What will you give to the Lord? Like the Magi, will you exchange a gift to him, a precious gift of your worship, in His holiness and in His righteousness as King. If you've been forgiven much, as this woman who was forgiven of her sin, will you worship the Lord at His feet? Like Paul, would you give the Lord the gift of your life, sacrificially poured out as your spiritual act of worship? As this early church, in light of this indescribable gift, would you give your life and your sacrifice in a way to support the work and the work of the gospel and kingdom? What are the exchanges of gifts that you'll have in mind as you see gifts given this Christmas? Let me encourage you with just a few things that I know that we can do that you're even doing this morning. What can you give to the King, to the Lord? Your worship. Even as we've gathered here today, don't miss that we're here to worship the King together in His holiness and His righteousness for the gifts that He's given to us, indescribable. We're here to worship the King. It says this in Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, but he prolonged his message until midnight. One commentator says this is one of the earliest references to Christians meeting for worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Christians may have continued to observe the Jewish Sabbath as well, but eventually the Lord's resurrection day became the sole day of worship for Christians. What gift can you bring to the Lord? Is honest, authentic worship to Him. What other gift can we bring? Just like Paul encouraged the early church, we can bring our tithes, our offerings, our first fruits to Him in support of the gospel, in support of the church, in support of the kingdom work. And obviously you've heard so much about that even this month here at the church, in ways that we can be a part of supporting and encouraging and being part of the gospel around the world. But I think more than anything, with our worship and with our giving, I think the greatest gift exchange that you could give to the Lord is yourself. Yourself. Pour it out on the altar. Your talents, your gifts, your time, your skill, everything that you are given to the Lord because of His indescribable gift to us. Through the years, as the kids were creative at Father's Day and birthdays and things like that, occasionally they would give a handwritten coupon book. Did anybody ever get one of these? It'd say, you know, free washed car, you know, free vacuuming, free work with the pets, you know, whatever it was. But they would have this just sweet little coupon book that you could tear out in exchange for them to do whatever gift it was that they were bringing. If you're writing a coupon book to the Lord today, what would you write to Him? What gift of service would you give to the Lord? Lottie Moon, obviously, is a name that's quite familiar at this season. She's an extraordinary lady. She had sat out in life, striking out on her own. But as a young woman, she dedicated her life to the Lord. Here's what I found through the International Mission Board site. Born Charlotte Diggs Moon, December 12, 1840 in Virginia, Lottie rebelled against Christianity until she was in college. And at that time, she dedicated her life to Christ and was baptized at the First Baptist Church of Charlottesville, Virginia. Lottie attended college, a female counterpart of the University of Virginia, and in 1861, she was one of the first women in the South to receive a master's degree. She taught school in Kentucky and Georgia and Virginia, and her sister, Edmonia Moon, was appointed to serve as a missionary in Tingzhou, China in 1872. And the following year, Lottie was appointed as well and joined her sister. Lottie served 39 years as a missionary, mostly in China's Shantung province. She taught in a girls' school and often made trips to China's interior to share the good news with women and girls. When she set sail for China, Lottie was 32 years old. She had turned down a marriage proposal and left her job, home, and family to follow God's lead. Her path wasn't typical for an educated woman from a wealthy southern family. God had gripped her with the Chinese people's need for a savior. For 39 years, Lottie labored chiefly in Tingzhou and Pingzhou. People feared and rejected her, but she refused to leave. She adopted traditional Chinese dress. She learned China's language and customs. Lottie didn't just serve the people of China, she identified with them. Many eventually accepted her, and some accepted her Savior. Lottie wrote letters home detailing China's hunger for the truth and the struggle of so few missionaries taking the gospel to, at that time, 472 million people. She also shared the urgent need for more workers and for Southern Baptists to support them through prayer and giving. She once wrote home to the Foreign Mission Board, "Please say to the new missionaries, they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. Disease, turmoil, and lack of co-workers threatened to undo Lottie's work, but she gave herself completely to God, helping lay the foundation of what would become the modern Chinese church, one of the fastest growing Christian movements in the world." Lottie Moon died at 72, ill and declining health after decades of ministering to her beloved Chinese. And here's something that she wrote in September 15, 1887 in Tung Chau. "Why should we not do something that will prove that we are really in earnest in claiming to be followers of him who," listen to what she said, "though he was rich, for our sake became poor." Lottie's heart hearkened back to the passage that we read earlier from 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Yesterday I was at the mall. I really did struggle to find a parking place. I had to park across the way at a different store and walk back after I dropped off the family. I felt like a football lineman, kind of swimming through people in the mall. It was incredible. But in the midst of that activity, we were there because my daughter and some other students of Win and Hook, piano students, were there to play. Some of our own church members, our kiddos. So if you can imagine this place that literally there wasn't a parking place to be found, the hustle and bustle of that place. In the midst of all that busyness, there were the beautiful carols that rang out on the piano of "O Holy Night" and "Silent Night" and "What Child Is This?" It was just a strange moment. You know what I mean? To be there in the midst of this just incredible hustle and bustle and hear this tune of peace in the midst of it. For all of us in this season, that's my prayer. As you see gifts exchanged, may we have that same kind of encounter to be quiet and still for a moment, to still our hearts and be mindful of the indescribable gifts that God has given to each of us. May we also reflect at that time of the exchange of gifts, what do we bring him? How will we worship him? Will we give him the gift of our lives? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this season where our hearts are attuned and focused to worship you, the gift of you, and the life that you bring to us. And as Paul proclaimed, indescribable gift. God, we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, I pray that during this season, even as we're in this quiet place today, that you would give us moments of still to be able to ponder, to be able to be in wonder and awe at the gifts that you bring and give to us, Lord. We are grateful and we worship you. God, I also pray for us that as we reflect on what you've given to us, this new life in Christ, your presence in our heart and life, that like Paul, we would come to you to be poured out as a drink offering, laid out and worshiped to you, Lord, to do whatever that you ask us to do. God, we thank you for the testimony of those who go before us, like Lottie Moon. And God, in a similar way, for any of us in this room today, at any age, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be attuned to your Spirit, to listen to your Spirit, to be willing to follow your Spirit, to do whatever you ask us to do, Lord. You are the King and you're our Master. And God, because of your indescribable gift, we are yours and we commit our lives to you, Lord. God, thank you for this season. I pray that you'd bless everyone in this room.